Hello and welcome to Knit, Design, Edit, Sleep, Repeat with Lisa Conway, Denise Finley, and Tiffany Wooten. Let's listen in and see what's happening, who's happening, and what's new in their world.
Due to scheduling challenges, today's episode will not be with Sarah LaRoe. Her episode will air at a future date. Instead, listen to Tiffany and Denise as they talk tools of the trade.
Well, hello, Miss Sparkle Coordinator. How are you?
Hello there, Miss Tiffany. I am good. How about yourself down there in hot Texas?
Oh, girl, it's hot, and hotter. Like, it's we're up to 20-something 100-degree plus days this year already, and it's only July, so it's going to... It's gonna be miserable.
I could never live there again. I'm telling you, I could never live there again. I just turned our air conditioner on for the third time this summer.
So. Oh God, I'm so jealous. I will say it's better than Florida and the humidity and swimming to the mailbox. I do not miss that.
No.
I went to visit Florida back in May, and I texted, like, the first thing I sent everybody besides, it wasn't even, hey, I'm here, hey, I'm in the area. It was, I do not miss the humidity at all. And they all laughed and said,
well, that's exactly what I tell people. Chicago is really bad too when it gets hot, because of all the lakes. We lived 8 miles off Lake Michigan, and it was just like an armpit. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It's awful. Don't miss that. Don't miss it.
Not at all.
Not even a little bit.
Well, sweetie. All right, y'all. So our lovely listeners, this is another chaos train with Miss Denise and I. So, all your seatbelts need to be fastened. Your tray tables need to be in your upright positions. And hold on, because Miss Lisa is still recovering from her surgery. It went well. It went just as expected. You've got us for a few more episodes, and then she'll be back in the swing of things at that point. But until then, we're going to ride this chaos train, and we're just going to have fun with it.
And we just always have fun. I did manage to chat with Lisa for quite a while the other night, and she is doing surprisingly well, and she looks great.
Yay!
I was very encouraged by that. So I wanted all of our listeners to hear that too.
Yes. Yeah, she's been up and talking to both of us in the last week, and she's been, pushing through, and she's starting to get to that, okay, what am I going to do thing. So she's starting to get a little restless, which is good.
Restless is good, but overdoing is bad.
And finding that balance is really hard sometimes.
I know.
So today, Miss Denise and I are going to be doing tool talk. We're not doing tool time, just for those of us that grew up in the 90s and watched the 90s TV shows. It's not tool time, it's tool talk. And if you don't know what that is, I'm sorry, you missed out on the gloriousness that was JTT in his prime. So, anyways.
True.
I am an 80s child, what can I say?
I raised 80s children, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. So what you got in store for us today, Miss Denise?
Well, you know what? I was thinking that while we're on this kind of hiatus, kind of in the middle of things and not really focusing on editing stuff, that it might be interesting to some of our listeners, budding designers or experienced ones all over the place, they might be interested to have a basic knowledge or to rehear a basic knowledge about two of the tools of the trade that are absolute necessities. That's yarn and needles or hooks.
You can't do anything in our industry without either one. So, and this would be good even for basic makers too, who are just joining, who are just getting involved and learning what we're getting ready to do. So, and this is another one of those that I'm going to put this up up front now, and we'll remind you later. If you do have questions, hit us on Instagram or the Facebook group or in the email that we can never seem to remember.
Since Lisa got on my case about it last time, she goes, I can't believe she said I laughed so hard. You couldn't remember it. Anyway,
Lisa cracked up at us when she was editing our episode, y'all. She thought it was the funniest thing that we couldn't remember the email of knitdesignedit@gmail.com. She thought it was the funniest thing and laughed. She said she was laughing, crying at us, so.
We were both coming off of fibro flare.
We provided her entertainment and her recovery. So
Yes, exactly. That's what we aim to do. That's our thing. So, but anyway, I just thought that that would be a good thing to kind of go over.
I concur. Or you want to start with yarn, or you want to start with hooks and needles?
I think we'll start with yarn, because
yarn is always fun. The soft and fluffy stuff.
The squishy stuff you want to touch and squeeze. However, one of the things that I got to thinking about was even experienced knitters sometimes are like, okay, I can't afford what is used in that pattern, or I don't like the consistency, the blend, whatever fiber it is or anything.
I'm allergic to the fiber.
Exactly. So what can I use to substitute it?
Yes.
Well, I have found a couple of places that they could go to online that details in detail, not just the makers themselves, not people makers, but the yarn manufacturers. Mm-hmm. You can always go to their websites and see.
Yep, their website's always got to get pretty good stuff.
But overall, like, what does wool yarn? How many different kinds of wool yarn are there? Mm-hmm. You know, what can you use to replace that? It's found, and this will be in our show notes, of course, that can be accessed on our RAV page or our Facebook page.
Correct.
Is knittingknowledge.com. This is where I've pulled this information from.
Okay.
And it was fairly complete, but it was also very concise, which is always a good thing for me.
It's always nice.
Because I'm not. But, author that I am. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about was, first of all, yarn weight. You know how those little numbers on the side of the yarn bands that they have now? 1, 2,
yep.
3,
the little
4,
skein.
5,
it's got a, it'll have the skein with the number on the label on the side of the yarn. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And well, it's numbers 1 through 5. Lord, here I am. 6. I'm a bad editor. I was going to say, I think it's 6.
Yeah, 6 is super bulky. Yeah. So that is not always as accurate as knowing whether it's worsted or DK or sport or fingering or Aran.
That is so true.
There's so many little subdivisions.
Yes.
You know,
I had picked up a worsted weight and I started working with it and I was like, this feels so much more like a DK weight and this is going to mess everything up on my project.
Well, I know we said we weren't going to name names, and I really, this is not a criticism at all, but I know that Knit Picks, Wool of the Andes, worsted, is a light worsted.
It is very light worsted.
Across the board, it's a light
worsted. It's a comfortable worsted, but it is a light worsted.
It is my favorite, but I know you're going to have to adjust your needle sizes.
Correct. I actually had to hold it double on a sweater I made last year to be able to make gauge on a worsted project. So,
I've heard people do that.
And that's one of those things you have to know.
Yeah. So I mean, but this is just general information. Basically, it's about fibers, like the plant fibers that are made, what they're made out of. Of course, you have wool, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in wool, we have merino wool, which is super fine wool that comes from those lovely merino sheep. You just want to squish them too.
You want to squish them and pet them and love them and take them home.
Exactly. I at one point in time, I really thought I was going to have my own sheep farm, and that didn't happen. So anyway. There's Shetland wool, actually comes just from Scotland's Shetland Islands, but I love using it. It is, it's thicker than merino sheep wool, and it's also got a very, very water resistant capacity to it.
Oh, okay. I've never used that, so that's interesting.
Yeah, but it is itchy. So
yeah,
you know,
I mean, a lot of
I wouldn't want to make a sweater.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. There's also organic wool. It's not chemically treated, processed, or altered in any way. So this makes it good for people maybe who have chemical issues.
Yeah, you know, things they've got chemical chemical issues or
correct. But there are also wool blends. And what they tend to mostly blend them with are alpaca, silk, or acrylic. I've seen them blended with several other things too.
And I don't know how old. There's all sorts of blends out there.
Oh God, yeah. But they were talking about just with wool. Then, this is one of my favorites, because I have them all over my house, alpacas.
Alpacas are so cute.
They're so cute.
They're squishy and fluffy. And yes, y'all, I am that person. I'm sorry, you're just going to have to deal with me being that person.
But I am too. But let me tell you about alpaca, or let me tell you a little bit about this knittingknowledge.com. It does then, under each classification of yarn, it has a chart of pros and cons.
Okay.
Like, why would you want to use this yarn and why wouldn't you not want to? Like, under the alpaca, it can be expensive. It felts or pills easily and it can grow and lose its shape over time. Which brings me to a funny story. I was making a sidewalk shawl. It's a pineapple, crocheted pineapple. It's stunning. It is stunning. Yeah. I was making it for a swap for somebody. And she was short, 5'4", 5'3". Well, when I got done with it and it was out of alpaca, it was too long for me. Yeah. So guess who had to do that all over again?
I was going
to
say, that thing grew quite a bit then.
It was crazy. And I tried blocking it thinking that would shrink it up and it did not.
Not even so a little bit.
That's the warning about alpaca. Then there's cashmere, which I just did the bride's shawl in, which is just like butter and your hands, yeah. You know, it's gorgeous.
I think my mom did my wedding shawl out of cashmere too.
She told me about you doing your wedding shawl. Yeah,
yes, that sounds great. It is absolutely stunning. And actually, I got to loan it to a friend for her wedding,
for her something borrowed.
So that was a lot of fun.
Danielle's I did in a Serafina pattern by Donnie. It's on Ravelry. It's a pattern on Ravelry. And it turned out prettier than any of the other ones I've ever done. Nice. And I didn't even edge. I was going to edge it with a ruffle and I thought, would just ruin it. Then we also have mohair. Angora.
I am so scared to use mohair.
Oh, no, you can't.
I mean, it's so soft, but I've got a project sitting over here in one of my Ziploc bags with the pattern and all the yarn and everything. Mm-hmm. I have a pattern sitting over here to work it and it's mohair and something else. And I am so petrified to use it.
Well, the mohair-ish type yarn that scares me to death, which is more silk than mohair, but it's silk and mohair, is the Kid Silk Haze. And your mom just told me about, I think that's what she said she made your wedding shawl out of. And I was like, oh my gosh, that stuff, I would never use it by itself because it's so lightweight. Uh-huh. But I mix it with a DK weight usually or a fingering weight.
And oh, that could be done. Yeah.
Makes a beautiful aura.
Yeah. This mohair pattern that we've got over here, three friends and I all bought stuff to make it. We haven't done it yet, of course, but because we find all these other patterns we want to make ahead. But
of course,
it's mohair and something else held together. So yeah, it's a double.
Well, my first real legit full sweater project. Where I learned to knit continental. I was living in Boulder, Colorado at the time. And it was mohair. And it was on like size 10 needles. So it was kind of a big bulkier look.
Yeah.
And it was a peach color. It was absolutely gorgeous. And it was knit a sweater in 4 days, but theirs was over the weekend, you know, so it was every Saturday for a month. Uh-huh. And then we went home and did homework, right?
I got you.
So, but that was mohair. And I wore that thing out. I think it wore holes in it. I mean, seriously, I love that thing.
Yeah, I could see that. That sounds comfortable.
So mohair, you know, is from those crazy goats. Or no, angora is from the goats, right? Angora,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, angora is also a super soft. It's very warm, too, angora.
Heard
a
that.
A lot of people line their mittens, not gloves, but mittens. They'll make a liner out of the angora inside.
Okay.
That's interesting, too. There's also llama wool, which tends to be a little tougher. It's similar to alpaca, but it's hollow inside. So it tends to have a little more, halo to it.
Okay.
And it's also, it does not have any lanolin.
So people who are sensitive to,
so people that are sensitive to lanolin usually can use, the llama.
The llama.
Yeah. They get it from two places, the inner coat and the outer, undercoat.
Uh-huh.
The outer coat is coarse, really coarse.
Right.
It's that inner coat that's softer.
Super soft.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there's also cotton, you know. What I'm wondering about, if any of the listeners out there know or you know, I am all ears. The sugar and cream cotton and different other cottons that we've used since we were kids to make washcloths out of or whatever, placemats. That is so stiff, and yet you can go and get other brands that are soft. And I don't know if it's the processing.
It's got to be the way they process, because even dishy softer than sugar and cream.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of my really good girlfriends, is a cotton dyer, And that's all, you know, she's got all sorts of cotton blends and cotton and organic cotton. And what did she just, she got a sparkle something for her, one of her later in the year boxes. I think it was her Halloween boxes she got it for. And so she could probably speak to it a lot better, but it's got to be the way that it's processed because sugar and cream is so rough.
Stiff, yeah. Here's the thing. There's American cotton, Egyptian cotton, which is more expensive, and it's made with the soft, smooth texture and long fibers. Standard cotton is made with mid-length fibers and a huge variety of colors. And there's Pima, which I adore.
I love Pima.
Pima is a middle ground between American and Egyptian.
It's still Pima's a little pricey. I usually work with.
Yeah, Pima, I make a lot of cowls out of Pima and stuff like that. That's close to your skin because it's soft.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the silk that is absolutely stunning to work with. It's smooth. I love silk yarn, but I do usually hold it with something else. Not all the time. Depends on what I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's linen and flax. There's bamboo. These are all hemp. Hemp is the one that's kind of new to, well, it's not new, but it's new knowledge to a lot of people. It's really strong and durable.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people make, like bags now, like market bags and wall hangings and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's what makes hemp interesting for me.
I love linen for garments because as you can wear it, it gets, you know. Yeah. I love linen because, you know, it softens as you wear it and wash it. And it's just so comfortable. And
one of my favorite scarves I made sitting in a hot bedroom in Texas, Houston, was silk. And I just, or not silk, linen. It was
linen.
And it might have been a linen silk blend. I'm not sure. But it was so nice after I got it done.
Yeah, I bet.
It was
great. I've got a pair of linen pants. Well, actually, I've got several pairs of commercial linen pants that I've bought, you know, big box stores because for work, because they're easy. And I was wearing them the other day and somebody was like, I love your pants. And I was like, thanks. They're like 10 years old.
Right. I just bought them. I just bought a pair of white ones to wear with an outfit that I'm, or top that I'm crocheting because I wanted it to look fabulous.
But you're going to look fabulous. You're the sparkle coordinator. How could you not?
Anyway, so that was all the animal and plant-based yarns. But we also have man-made yarns, which are the synthetic, the synthetic type. So then we talk about acrylic, which is absolutely the most well-known, popular, probably most used yarn on the planet, I would think.
And just to preface for our listeners, we are not bashing any yarn through any of this. This is just a knowledge base. We personally, I'm pretty sure Lisa does the same thing. We all use all kinds of yarn depending on what our project takes and what we can pull off at that point in time and everything else. We do not hold any kind of, you know, preference to anything. And, you know, yes, we have our favorites, but I mean,
but if I'm making a blanket for a baby that's going to irp up all over it and have to be washed five times a day,
you want
it's
going to
be out of acrylic.
Yeah,
something
all day
like
long.
Steel, you know? I'm not lying to you. I have an afghan that's in storage in another state right now, but that I got for my first wedding present from my best friend's mom. It was one of those ripple afghans in my colors back then. And it is still together. It is still used. I mean, and that was, I'm not even going to tell you how long ago.
I found when we went and cleaned out my grandmother's house when she passed away, I opened up a box and there is a box of granny squares out of acrylic yarn that we think my great grandmother started it.
Wow.
So I got to bring it home because I'm the crocheter in the family. So I'm going to try and I've got to find the box. Of course, now that I've moved, I don't know where it went, but I want to keep working on that. And the colors still look phenomenal. Like
that would
they
don't lose their color at all.
Yeah.
It all looks great. About fade. Yep. I mean, it's, you can wash it 100 million times and it's just fine.
And it comes right back out the way it's supposed to. It's great.
Well, there was a couple of tears in it where our dog got her nails hung up in it. And she kind of jerked it away and hurt her nail and it was bad. But other than that, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that thing. And it's over 50 years old.
Anyway.
So after acrylic, we have polyester. And there's rayon, which is really cool. I like it when they put rayon and yarn as a blend because it makes a better drape. Personal opinion.
Yes.
That's just what I think.
Yes.
There's also nylon.
Nylon is nice because it gives that bounce and it gives the rebound. Yes. This is really good for socks. That
and super good for cables. Cable knitting?
Cables, yes. I didn't even think about cables.
Good with cables. They just pop right out of there. Yeah, yeah.
Cables would be good. And I would think, I would actually use it for hats too. Yes. So that the hat will bounce back and it will keep its sizing and its shape correct.
Yes.
That way, because, you know, when you wear something, especially a hat or something like that, over time, it'll start stretching. I would actually use a hat. I would use nylon in a hat too.
I just am using a yarn right now from, I'm not going to say who, but it's 50% acrylic, 25% polyester, and 25% rayon. And I have used it before, and it's like a merino. The wool part is merino, and I have used it before, and the cables just pop like crazy. While I'm making a sweater with it now, that it's just amazing, the drape that it's getting in it.
Is it good?
Yeah,
I'll have so to it's see gonna that work when you're out done
really
with it.
Well. Anyway, and we always talk about different yarns, like the specialty yarns and the novelty yarns. A lot of them come in and out of trend.
They really do.
Ribbon yarn. Now, self-striping yarn is not out of trend at all.
Self-striping yarn is always great because you don't have to think about it. And like for baby knitters like me, it's great because it just changes the colors and you don't have to worry about trying to weave in your ends or join your ends or anything. I love self-striping yarn.
Yes. Yeah, I love it all the time. Every day and then on Sundays, twice on Sundays. But then there's boucle yarn, which I despise, but that's just a personal thing. Chenille, marled, faux fur, variegated yarns, thick, thin yarns, tweed, heather, and just the heathered yarns are really pretty.
They are really pretty.
Aaron, weight, you know, you make a sweater and, or a vest or something out of them.
I have a friend, one of my friends that I've mentioned in a previous episode that dyes, Krista, she just did a white tweed line not too long ago. Oh, it was spectacular. Like, everything was just gorgeous. And then chenille, I have a sweater that I got some chenille yarn. I think I got it on sale at one of the big box stores, and I made a sweater out of that. Let me tell you what, I wore the crap out of that for 2 years. And I made it
easy to wear.
Yes. I made it a split hem tunic, and it like it goes well down below my butt.
Easy.
I pulled it out to wear it this year and it is pulling apart. And I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Sad. So I think I'm going
to
have
to. Your dyer spinner friend wants anybody to make some, I have a car coat pattern that I've wanted to use for years and I want to make it winter white, but a winter tweed would be great too.
That would just be pretty.
So here's some questions you want to ask yourself about what kind of yarn you want to be using for your project.
Let's have
it. Especially if you're going to trade these, you know, do the whole, oh, I can't afford that, or I don't want to use that color.
Yeah, substitutions.
Mm-hmm. So when will you wear the final item? Do you want it to be warm and cozy or cool and breathable?
Truth.
Or do you live in Florida or do you live in Alaska?
Yep.
You know.
Or do you live in Texas in the summer or Texas in the winter? Because those are two very different climates, let me tell you.
Yeah. Portland, it's pretty much the same all the time. Well, at least we don't get a ton of snow.
Maybe I need to come visit and get some cool air then.
Seriously. Or what texture do you want your final garment or outfit or project to be? Does it need to be smooth and durable or soft and fluffy? I have a friend right now. Yeah, I have a friend right now who's using this really cool thick and thin yarn for a baby blanket. And she made the star blanket. It is so cute. And it's so weird. She said she could use it as a blanket, as a wall hanging, or basically as a rug.
I like it.
It's that versatile. It's amazing. Do you need the final item to be hand washed or machine washed?
That's a huge thing right there that a lot of people don't think about is how to wash and care for the yarn, because a lot of yarns need to lay flat to dry because otherwise they're going to lose their shape. You're going to lose the detailing of whether it's cables, lace, whatever it is.
Right.
And then, you know, like we were talking, acrylic, you can just throw that in the washer and dryer and away you go.
Well, here's a tip that I'm sure a lot of our listeners know about. Maybe you do too, but I was taught years ago that to save at least one ball band, I save all of them for a very altruistic reason, but save a ball band. And if you're gifting it to somebody, like a baby shower or a wedding shower or birthday gift, Christmas, whatever, you slip that ball band in with it and circle the yarn direction.
Yeah, I actually have cut out the yarn care on there and put it on the ribbon.
Yep, Exactly. Good idea. Yeah. That's cute. I like that.
Yeah, because they're not going to know about the rest of it, and they're not really going to care about the rest of it. They just need the yarn care part, and that's what I did.
Yeah, I just toss it in there. Yeah, okay, that's a good idea. A couple of more things to contemplate before you make something. Is the final item designed to be worn by a baby or someone with sensitive skin?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's you want to go with something maybe softer or less caustic. What color will the knitted item be, and how much do you want to spend on your yarn? Those are very important considerations, and there are many others too. Can you think of any?
There's a ton, but those are all the really good ones right off the top to consider. The main ones. That help you decide what you're doing. Yeah,
for sure. I know there are a few yarns that I use, especially when I crochet, that if I don't have the correct gauge, or if I'm in it, if I'm crocheting a little tighter, it hurts my hands.
Yes.
With that kind of yarn. So I have to kind of stay away from that.
So that's problem with fingering weight. Fingering weight starts to hurt my hands.
Really?
I don't typically stitch with anything smaller than Aran or DK because the way that I hold for tensioning, it actually starts to cramp my hands, and I have to take more breaks than I would with a thicker yarn.
Huh. Well, one of the things that this site has is a yarn name, a fiber type, and a description. It's a yarn type comparison chart.
I like it.
Very, 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 very good. As far as, like I said, knittingknowledge.com.
Knittingknowledge.com. That's going to be a good website. I'm going to have to bookmark that
one. I haven't looked through a lot of the rest of the other ones because we put this together kind of on the fly and in like less than 12 hours.
I mean, look, that's actually a lot of good information though for what you did come up with.
But that was just one of the
ones that I'll throw out there for our listeners that they may or may not know. For as far as substitutions, if they have like a specific band or a specific yarn brand or information, and they just want something that will substitute easily for that. So we were talking about Wool of the Andes earlier.
Right.
And they can actually go to yarnsub.com.
Oh.
And we'll put that in the show notes too.
Yes.
And you can throw that name of that yarn in there, and it will give you a list.
And it'll give you a percentage of how close it is to the yarn.
Correct.
You use.
And what's different. Like if it, the fiber's different, so you know, make sure you gauge it, or the yardage is different per band or whatever. That's actually one of my go-tos for figuring out substitutions, especially with helping my designers substitute yarn, is that site specifically. But I'm gonna have to check out Knitting Knowledge.
I don't think enough people know about that yarn sub. I have used it off and on for years.
I use that website all the time. It's actually one of my bookmark sites for when I'm doing edits so that I can help give suggestions on, hey, you might want to think about this, or, hey, let's talk about this for a substitution or something. And like yarns that get discontinued, they've got discontinued yarns in there. So one of the yarns that you and I were talking about the other day that's discontinued is Lion Brand ZZ Twist.
Yeah.
It's discontinued now. And it's
that
got
was
a
my
couple
next thing I was going to cover is Twist.
Yep, it's got a couple of options in there for substitutions. There's not a lot because it's a Z Twist, and I know you're going to conquer that next, but it does have discontinued yarns in there. So if you have or somebody else has an old, skein of yarn, or somebody gifts you, hey, this was laying around the house. Here's a pre skein of yarn.
Right.
And you're like, well, crap, what do I do with this?
Right.
What do I combine it? Yeah. So, yeah, it's actually a really good site to find something similar or something to substitute it's one of my favorites. So
I know that the dreaded mystery yarn when the ball band is gone that's the worst thing, because you can only just guess,
and yes, and you're before. Like what is in here, what am I supposed to do with this,
right? Oh, it's worsted. Oh good, that helps.
It's worsted, okay, let's find something, find an easy pattern we can do this with. Let's
two more sources before I talk about ply. I am also a spinner, as is Lisa. And one of the things you learn as a spinner is twist and ply. And I think if knitters had more knowledge on that, they would be much happier with their finished garments, and it wouldn't end up in the bottom of a drawer or the back of a closet.
Possibly.
So I would encourage as many especially designers out there that could, to just learn, get a cursive knowledge about it. You know, I'm not shaking my finger and say they have to. It's just, it helps me a lot. And there's a couple of books, and I mentioned spinners because one of them is about spinners. It's the Spinner's Book of Yarn Designs, and it's by Sarah Anderson. And it's a really pretty book on top of it. It has pretty pictures.
I mean, look.
Right. And then the other one that had, it just has some helpful graphs. It's an older book. God knows I probably bought it in an older bookstore. Oh, yeah, I got it at Goodwill.
I mean, look, Goodwill's got some good stuff.
I haven't even looked at the copyright on it. It's called All About Knitting. And it looks like a compendium, like there are several other authors that contributed to it. But it has, and I'm only showing this to you, it has, see these pictures? Like what?
Oh, it's got pictures of like what the fibers look like. That's cool.
Yeah. And that's,
we've got a video up between the two of us so that we actually see each other while we're talking and we're not talking to, you know,
right.
It makes it easier.
facial cues. That's why the whole mask thing just almost destroyed me. Anyway, so as far as the S and the Z twist, how this one author explained it in her book is, she said, spinners, we might spin four individual, basically the same size strands of yarn, okay, into balls. And then we're going to ply them together, which means we're going to twist them together.
Okay, you so you're going to take four strands and make them one.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And if you twist all of those strands, four strands together, to the right, that is called an S twist.
Okay.
If you twist them to the left, that is a Z twist.
Now, why are they called S and Z?
I don't know.
I got you on this one. Okay, I knew this one.
Oh, good.
Because I got confused and I actually had to look it up.
See, together.
So the
we
reason
are
that
brain.
if you twist it to the right, it's called an S twist, is because if you look at the twist a little bit looser, it actually forms the S.
Okay.
And then if you twist it to the left, it looks like a Z.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and when you're spinning fast, like I have a production spinner wheel that I can go really fast on. I guess I never really stopped to look at it. I should have. And I have a little thing that hangs on the side of my spinning wheel that tells me the size of each one of my twists. You know, do I want it this size, you know, for lace weight? Do I want it for DK weight? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But also, as a spinner, I can spin each individual one S, but then I can ply it Z, and it is still good for crocheters.
I bet that comes out really cool.
It's wonderful because it's just, I love doing it that way. Because it's got a core of strength with the S,
right?
Because the Z tends to wrap back on itself when you're spinning it.
Yeah.
So I know that commercial yarn makers are all, I can honestly say, with the exception of the one we mentioned yesterday, all commercial yarn is S twist.
Yeah, I know of one Z twist little yarn still, and then the one that's discontinued. So there's only one active line of Z twist. Everything else is S twist. And that's why, and if you're a crocheter and you have an issue with your yarn splitting, that would be why, is because it's an S twist. And S twist is way more compatible to knitting.
Knitting, yes. Because when we knit, our needle takes it the same way as the twist. But as we crochet it, it's going in the opposite direction.
Yeah,
that's how it was
exactly. Because we're kind of unplying it.
Untwisting
as we're stitching.
It. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas with the Z twist, it works. It's more compatible with crocheting because we are working with the ply instead of against it.
Kind of like a grain. You know, working against a grain or with a grain.
Yeah, against the grain and with the grain. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. And
that's something that
somebody didn't realize. And I wish, as a crocheter, I wish there were more commercial Z brand yarn or Z twist yarns. Like, I was crushed when I found out that Lion Brand discontinued their Z twist, their ZZ twist, because that was just my absolute favorite. All right, Miss Denise, so I will make sure that WIMS makes it to our, well, WIMS is the name brand of that Z twist that we were talking about, y'all. We will have a link to that. It is a non-affiliated link.
I was just going to say, we are not sponsored by any yarn or
correct.
Or
we
anything.
Are not sponsored. We are not affiliated, nothing. You
it's
may
just our
check
personal
with
things we know about.
You may check with some of your friends, some of your maker friends, because they may be affiliated with WIM, with the company that produces WIMs. And if they are, you know, I'm sure they would appreciate any couple pennies that can come off of your sale, because it's no extra money out of your pocket if you use their affiliated link. But that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to make sure y'all knew it was a non-affiliated link. It's just a general information link.
Exactly.
So what you got next for us on the learning parade today, Miss Denise?
Well, let's talk about our second most important tool that we have in our little treasure chest. That would be needles and hooks. Oh my, exactly. That's how it works. Exactly. So we all have our preferences.
We do.
And what's funny is I don't think a lot of us, especially me when I learned this, knew I had a preference for a certain reason.
Correct.
It was actually, there are, let's just go over and you throw in if I don't have all of them.
Okay.
The different types of hooks, mm-hmm. the head of the hook to the some small base, mm-hmm. or the whole thing, mm-hmm. or the needles, the points and down as far as they can, or the whole thing.
Correct.
They are, can be either wood, mm-hmm. bamboo, plastic, nickel, steel, chrome, aluminum,
acrylic, and I think and a combination of any of the above.
Yeah,
I know that there are some custom makers, especially custom hook makers. I don't think there's custom needle makers. Well, yeah, no, there's going to be mm-hmm. there's going to be some out of wood, mm-hmm. and I'm sure somebody out of resin probably. But yes.
I've seen
they'll make like these really beautiful intricate handles, and then they will use metal tips. Mm-hmm. And they'll use like a standard metal tip or whatever. But yeah, or there's a combination thereof, you know, where I think the most common one I have seen has been a metal tip hook with a plastic or some sort of an ergonomic handle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So ergonomic isn't necessarily a hook style. Well, it's a hook style, but it's not a crochet head style. It's a
right.
base of the hook style.
It's where you hold it.
So mm-hmm. yeah, right. because I personally have to use, yeah, I have to use ergonomic because of my carpal tunnel, because my, you know, my day job, I do a lot of typing.
Yeah.
So I do better. I do better to have an ergonomic or a bigger handle on the hook, especially the smaller the size, the hook.
Definitely. So. I have noticed that with a smaller sized hooks, I feel better with a larger grip. It gives me a little bit more control over even the yarn, you know, mm-hmm. as it's going through the hook kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have noticed that just recently, which I thought was odd.
And so one of the things that, and I don't know if it's on your list there, talking about the different types, everybody will have a preference. You may not mm-hmm. know it. Like she said, you're going to have to try a couple of different kinds, and mm-hmm. big box stores galore can help you with that for sure.
Well, here's my story, short and sweet. I prefer chrome or even aluminum knitting needles, mm-hmm. whether the tips are that way on cables or whether it's the whole, you know, straights.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know why I preferred those until I was trying to do a pair of socks on plastic. There was a brand of plastic needle that was very popular about a year or two ago, and my local yarn shop that I prefer in the area here, actually out on the coast, she really, really tried to convince me to use this, and I did, and I got about halfway through a hat before I wanted to throw it. Well, plastic or resin even tends to be stickier. It holds the stitches to the needle, whereas
it doesn't move as easily on the needle.
Correct.
For knitting.
I'm a very fast knitter, especially if I'm doing nothing but knit, and hat. And that was what it was. It was just a hat, knit all the way around, knit, you know. And I can do that watching TV, you know, basically just like a million miles an hour. But it was making me slow down and it was making me mad.
Oh, that can be frustrating for sure.
Yeah. Well, that was when I realized, oh, well, that's why. Now, not for all projects. Now, if I'm doing a lace, say in like a cashmere or a or cables, even in worsted, maybe just acrylic even, I'm going to want something stickier so those things don't just drop off.
Yeah, so they don't go flying off the needle. Exactly. I hate dropping stitches like that.
I know. I have
one of the most frustrating things.
That I have one at a yarn shop thing, and it's about this, you know, it's maybe 4 inches long for the listeners that can't see my fingers, but it was about 4 inches long. It looks like a miniature crochet hook. Mm-hmm. It's a knitting hook on one end and a crochet hook on the top. And I don't know what it's called, but I love that thing. If I ever lose it, I'm gonna have to hurt somebody.
Because I mean, I've seen them recently at, I think I've seen it recently at Joann's.
I think they come in a kit with things too.
Some of them do, yeah. Some of them are singles and some of them come in the kits. But it's funny that you're talking about your preference for knitting needles. So my preference for crochet is I have to have not only an ergonomic handle, but my handle has to be something non-metal. Because the metal actually pulls the heat from my hands and makes my fingertips go numb and kicks my arthritis in so that I can't work.
Ow.
Oh, it hurts so badly. So badly.
Oh.
So yeah, I have to use, that's when I got on to the combination handles where a metal tip and a grip handle or the ergonomic hooks. That's when I got into that, was when I discovered I had that problem.
Well, that would be good for listeners who have any kind of like arthritis or carpal tunnel or any kind
or
of
both.
Dexterity issues, you know?
Correct. Yeah.
That would
and
help a
one
lot.
Of the, I was very hesitant when I started knitting to try metal needles. I kept trying to, you know, use wood. And I discovered that because the yarn overlays the needle when you're knitting, because everything I've done has been in the round. Or on circular needles. I don't use straight needles. Because everything overlays the needle, I don't have the same problem with knitting needles that I do with crochet hooks.
Well,
because
that kinda
makes
sense.
Acts as a barrier.
Now, what's funny is I have some straight needles that people have gifted me, and they're beautiful. They're like pieces of art. And the only wood that I like is a polished wood, so it's slicker. It's not just the wood that you pick up at the big box stores or the bamboo that you pick up at the big box stores where it doesn't have a coating on it. This has like a finish on it that makes them go faster too.
Oh, I can see that being really
There are
nice.
Also those available. I can't remember the name brand.
Yeah, I can
brand,
see but... that being really, really nice.
So, but also, okay, so we're talking about grips. I know that there are the ergonomic grips, but there are ones that are just decorative that I have. There's a couple that I've come to love. And this was something my husband bought me for Christmas one year online. I don't even know how he came across it. And they look like old-fashioned hairpins, and they're crochet hooks. But the way they're shaped happened to fit. I have tiny, tiny, tiny hands.
Right.
So they fit my hand just perfectly, and I just can go to town on that. And
That's
it's a metal
amazing.
Top. Yeah. So you might want to play around with different.
Yeah.
I don't always just stick with one, you know.
Yeah, experiment. Definitely get out of your box and find something else and try something else, because you never know what's going to be more comfortable.
Well, let's talk about the bugaboo out there with our circular needles. Cables.
Okay.
The cables that attach them.
Yes.
And the connectors and all that.
Yes.
I personally have never had a lick of trouble with any of my interchangeables that I have. I have two full sets, and then I have some haphazard things here and there. And I know that one brand's that you can find at big box stores, cable fit another online brand only needle. I know that too. But some of them are just so stiff, and it's really hard to work if you have.
Some of them can be really hard to work with.
Even if they're fixed, you know, they're not interchangeables. Even if they're fixed.
Yeah, cable doesn't move.
Again, you have to.
It's not supple.
Right, exactly. Again, you have to work with. You know, experiment here and there.
Yeah.
Now I have my favorite, and I'm just going to tell you right now, it is, I wrote it down, nylon coated multi-strand steel cable. It doesn't knot. It just does whatever you want it to do. It has no memory because the other plastic cables have what they call memory. And I was unaware of that. So that all makes perfect sense to me as a knitter who's been doing this for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Because it was so frustrating sometimes it was like you were always fighting that cable to get out of your way.
Yeah.
It would flip up where you...
Yeah, it would flip up. Yeah, I've had that problem where I've had a cable move on me, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I don't understand.
I know, yeah.
Cable memory would make sense, though, or plastic memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what it is. And then there's always the little discussions that people have amongst themselves. So, straights versus circs, you know, circulars, which do you prefer? I use circulars all the time, even when it calls for straights. Because it's easier for my wrists. I have arthritis also.
I've discovered that same thing as I've been using circs for everything.
Yeah,
I've never actually used straight needles. I've got some that, like you, somebody gifted me from somewhere I don't know where. And the circulars I have been able to master and handle a lot easier. Yeah. You're right. They help with my wrist and my dexterity.
Work. Yeah, yeah. But then the DPNs, the double pointed needles.
Terrify the crap out of me.
Oh, that I was probably 10 years old when I learned to knit my first pair of mittens on DPNs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So to me, but they have them in bamboo and wood and metal and plastic and all the other kind of
I've seen them in all sorts of materials. And I've tried to start an advent. There's one of the mini... one of the patterns that was written for Advent, you know, holiday Advents and stuff. And I found one it's just different squares and I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Bought the pattern, looked at the pattern. First thing it says is you have to start this with DPNs. And I was like, well, there I go. Never mind.
Throw that in that file over there. I hear you. But the one thing about DPNs that it's comforting to me is, many people use the little 9-inch darling needles or whatever they're called for socks and baby hats and things like that. But those hurt my hands to work with. And I'm on their group and I've seen a lot of people, as many people that love them, that say that they've tried them, honestly tried them, and it hurts their hands.
Yeah.
And the same is with me. So when I finish a hat, I can just put it on the double pointed needles in wood and I'm not going to lose those stitches.
Good
to go. So that's a lot of information that you probably didn't even really need to know. So
my mom's got a set of short tips for her interchangeable circs. She's got a set of short tips that I used for the last thing that I needed some small work done on. And those were super comfortable to use. So that was a different thing.
Let me ask you a quick question here. Just knitter to crocheter, to crocheter to knitter. Because I do both and I know you're doing both now.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes, we've talked about this before, my crochet hooks go walkabout just for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to find whatever I have before I can get to the store, right? Knitting is the same thing because we have two of them. You know, likelihood of losing them is more.
That's the other reason why I use circs is so that I don't lose the other one.
Exactly. But I have heard and seen in discussion groups where... people have said, oh, I lost my metal hook and I just had this wooden one hanging around and I started using it, but now my work looks different.
Yes.
Have you found that to be true?
Yes, 100% true. I have actually had that problem where I did the same thing. One of my hooks went walking in the middle of a project and I was like, well, here's the same size. Let's try something else.
Right.
And I think I went from metal to, metal to acrylic, I think. To metal. I think it was metal to acrylic, I think is what I did, because I wasn't using my acrylics that much at that time. And the work was completely different and I had to pull it all apart and start all over from where it changed out. And
okay, so it's true with I don't think I've ever done that with crochet enough for it to be noticeable.
Yeah.
But in knit, it really does make a difference.
Yeah, I've noticed it. I haven't done it with knitting because I've only completed a couple of projects. Mm-hmm. But with crochet, I have had that problem where I was like, oh, I guess I'm going to the store tomorrow when it opens because I need to replace this hook like right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay, because that, I think that, a word of warning for the listeners, if they're new, that it can make a difference in the look of your
finished
garment.
It can make a difference. And
especially if it's something you're wearing.
And you might as well go ahead and make peace with yourself now that you're going to end up having multiple sizes.
Exactly.
And especially once you find your preferred hook style, you were going to have multiples of just about everything that you have in there. You know, you'll have a complete set of hooks in one, you know, one size, and then or in one brand, and then you're going to have a half set and another brand, and then oh wait, here's doubles of the first brand, and
right,
yeah, just make peace. You're going to have a coffee mug full of hooks at some point. Like it's just it's a thing,
or a vase. Yeah, that's where mine.
I've got a coffee mug over here that I broke the handle off of a couple of years ago. It's a hand thrown mug from one of my girlfriends, and it's my hook mug now.
My needles are in my my straights anyway, or in a vase, and my I show you to what my hooks are in. This is a little metal thing for a desk.
Yeah,
pencils literally. Yeah. Well, one of the things that would be fun, and I don't think we have time for it today, but maybe sometime in the future, I think as well, as much as Lisa and I covered what makes a good pattern for a designer, I think it would be helpful for the makers out there to go through a pattern step by step, and what would you need to purchase for it, and what are you going to use this for, you know,
like
and that kind of thing. I think that at some point in time we might want to discuss that.
For sure. And if anybody has any ideas for, especially for that topic, make sure you throw them out to us so that we know.
Right. And also, and before I say my last little bit, which is cute because a lot of people don't know all of it. I think it's adorable. But do you have anything to add to any of the needle or hook situation?
No, I don't think so. Like I said, just make sure that you aren't afraid to try a different style, even if you don't think you're going to like it, because you will be very surprised. Like I was with my knitting needles. I really didn't think I could use, I was insistent that I had to use wood. And I was having the worst time with it. And my mom's like, here, and toss me a set of her metals. And sure enough, it was fine. And I haven't had an issue with them since. But I just have to be careful that I don't actually spend too much time on the metal itself. So.
I think to a designer, and I've designed crochet things, large projects, but not knit at all. I've had ideas in my head and I've written them out. Well, I did one sweater. Yeah, I guess I did. But I think it would help designers, especially when they're designing toward that maybe easy pattern, kind of, to think about those
patterns,
things too. You know, like what kind of, as a new knitter, you were using wood to start with. You said,
yeah,
I think that gives a lot of control, but
it
also
does.
Like you said, it can be frustrating.
Yeah, it was, I don't remember what the problem I was having. I think it was the yarn wood combination.
Well, I think
that
it was,
I was using.
Yes, I was just going to say it depends on the wood fiber or the
yeah,
fibers
I think
the
it
material.
Was the fiber I was using that I ended up having the issue with, because I ended up switching over to metal and I was just fine. So I was just like, great. Okay.
Learn. If we quit learning, that's the bad
thing.
Yeah,
you're always learning and you're always finding what makes, you know, your happy medium and such.
Well, I'm going to finish us off here because it's been a while with a list of knitters slang. This is
always fun.
It is. This is, and probably most of them know it, but this is knitters terminology that a lot of newbies I have found in some of my knitting groups are not aware of.
Yeah.
Especially frogging. Poor was one little girl. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about when you say frog. Do I have to make a certain sound or something? It was just so sweet, you know?
My husband looked at me the first time my mom and I were talking about it, because I didn't have anybody to talk crafting with at home in Florida.
Right.
So when we moved out here and we were, you know, my mom and I were sitting there talking crafting, he was so confused when we started talking about frogging. He's like, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, when I take it apart. And he's like, yeah. And I said, it's called frogging. And he's like, why?
Yeah.
And I was like, rip it. And he was like, oh.
We're such creative people.
And we're easily entertained.
Yes, this is true. But this particular, I'm going to give credit to the people where I found it. This particular list I found at stitchandunwind.com.
Okay.
So it's online. You can reference it yourself if you want to hang it, you know.
Oh, that's
put
a cute
in a frame.
List, yeah.
Yeah, it's cute. So cake, and a lot of people are very confused about yarn cakes, because they're looking for yarns made out of cake. Wouldn't that be?
Yes.
Nice? So, but it is actually yarn wound onto into a cylindrical shape or donut shape or whatever
shape
your thing goes. DPNs are double pointed needles.
Yep.
DS is your destash.
Okay, I've never heard that one.
Which is sell or trade unwanted yarn. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard DS as a destash, but I like it.
There's EOR, which is every other round or every other row. And okay. I have seen that in patterns.
I've seen that one a little bit, yeah.
Flashing, I don't know what this, I've never heard of this one, but it says similar to pooling below, which they explain it in below, but it's more linear. It's like peaks and valleys instead of wavy, because pooling
okay.
can tend to be wavy. F-O is a, correct, finished object. Frog, you already explained that. You did a wonderful job doing it. Wonderful job. What is the frog pond?
I would think it would be the pile of yarn that you've just ripped out.
Yes, it's a storage place for the knitted items that are waiting to be frogged. I have
no, that's
frog...
the timeout corner, but I like frog pond better.
My frog pond. No, my timeout corner is I'm still considering whether it needs to go to the frog pond or not.
Okay.
You know, at that point. Yeah. It's just been bad and it's being disciplined.
I like it. Point. I like it. Frog okay. pond. I like that.
FSOT, if you look on Ravelry, it's for sale or trade.
Okay.
They use that terminology a lot. Gifted, it just means the act of giving someone yarn or a garment or whatever. ISO.
In search of.
Correct. Like a certain kind of yarn or a certain kind of pattern you're looking for.
Yep. Mm. Or something, or person, yep. maker or something. Yeah.
Okay. So there's KAL.
Knit along.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also MAL.
Make along. Yes. And there's also CAL, which yes. is crochet along.
Exactly. And that's those three aren't in here. I was like, what? But then there's also KIP. Do you know what that is?
Knit in progress?
Knit in public.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Especially since once a year now, they all
yep,
make a big
once
deal
a year we do it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
LYS.
Local yarn store.
Yes. What is a muggle?
Muggle as in like Harry Potter muggle? Like non-magical folk?
Sort of. Only they're non-knitters in our world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've actually heard them refer. I live in Yarn Mecca, okay? The area of the country I live in right now, there is a, you couldn't swing a dead cat, as my daddy would say, and not hit a yarn store. So,
all right.
And they talk about muggles a lot. It's hysterical.
That's funny. I've never heard it referred to that
yes.
way.
OTN?
On the hook?
Well, that's OTH.
Oh, on the needles.
On the needles. Or off the needles. A lot of people yep. say it's off the needles, but like it's on the needles.
Okay.
How many projects do you have OTN?
You know, I got kind you.
Of like if you're texting. PIF, which is weird. It's pay it forward. But I've okay. never heard that used in the knitting context mm-mm. before. So that's a new one to me. Pooling okay. is when one color is in a variegated yarn bunches together.
Oh,
and I know
okay.
that people pool colors on purpose. And yes. that is not a technique that I have ever attempted because I'm
I have not either.
Yeah. RAK.
That one I don't
Random
know.
Act of kindness.
Okay.
You know, like if you just give a small gift to a fellow knitter or send them a small yeah. little card, letting them know, oh, you're doing a good job. You know, that kind
yeah.
of thing. The yarn group I used to be a part of in Northwest Indiana was very much like that. They
I
were
like
wonderful.
That.
I miss them. Do you know what sable is?
Mm-mm.
Okay, stash acquisition beyond life expectancy.
I like that. That's right? funny.
Yeah, we talk about sable a lot around here.
I mean, look, I'm getting to that point, let me tell you.
So sex is stash enhancement experience. It means buying yarn.
Sure.
That's what they said here.
I mean, it's on the list. I don't know if that's accurate, but it's on the list.
Right. Do you know what to tink means? In knitting, it's a knitting phrase.
Yeah, tinking is where you pull back, but you keep your stitches, like you're pulling each stitch apart to pick up the previous stitch so you don't okay. drop them.
It's tink is knit, actually spelled backwards.
Okay.
And before that phrase became popular, I always said, I'm knitting backwards.
Okay.
Which kind of is the same.
Yeah, that actually, when you explain it that way, that's exactly what mm-hmm. it is. But
yeah, because you're just going backwards. You're taking a stitch off at a mm-hmm. time. And hopefully you didn't have to go that whole 400 stitch row. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Do you know what a toad is?
No.
Toad is a trashed object abandoned in disgust.
All right.
I have one in my closet right now that put my backpack out. So a UFO.
Unfinished object.
Correct. Vanilla.
Plain.
An easy to read plain pattern. Exactly. Whether it's crochet or knit.
Yep.
WIP. A whip.
Work in progress.
Correct. What is yarn barf?
When you try and center pull and the half of the skein comes out on the center pull.
Exactly. I had a friend who absolutely refused to use anything, even if it had a center pull, because she was sick of that stuff. She said, and she'd just take the band off of it and put it in a bowl and just go away.
I know plenty of people who do that. I'm a center pull person all day long.
Yep. And two more. Do you know what a yarny is?
I would assume a yarn-centered person.
Yes, lover of all that is the glorious world of yarn.
100%.
Exactly. And this is a funny one that it's not on this list, but I think it should be included, whoever these people have done this. If you have your PhD, what do you have?
Project's half done.
Correct. One time, funny story, and then we close this out. I was on a plane going to Texas, and a gentleman asked me, with a cowboy hat and a big belt buckle on, what business are you in, little lady? And I said, I'm in plastics. He said, really? How do you do that? Because I had this really nice dress on. You know, that was back when we dressed when we traveled.
That's right.
A long time ago. And I said, I lead a team of well-seasoned executives to become leaders in their field. Really? He was just more impressed with me. The whole flight, he bought me a drink. I didn't even drink at the time. You know, I'm like, well, you can have this if you just get me a soda. And it, I mean, he was just impressed the heck out of him. And basically what I was is a Tupperware manager. So now...
I like it.
So I tell people I have my PhD. I have several PhDs, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're really?
Yeah. I've got several PhDs hanging out, too, so I can understand
exactly.
That.
You can hang them on the wall. No.
That's funny. That's
but
funny.
I just thought that was a little lighter end to some
yes
stiff stuff.
Well, that was a very educational hour, Miss Denise. I appreciate all that information, and I'm sure some of our listeners will appreciate it as well.
Well, even if all it does is make somebody look into it more in depth for themselves.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that I had never considered my first 25 or 30 years of knitting until my kids got older and my baby finally got to the point where I didn't have to worry about sharp things. And
yeah,
I could concentrate more on my craft.
And that's one of those things that I didn't actually start thinking about plies and twists and all of that until the last couple of years. And then especially getting into the editing where I was like, okay, what makes the difference? And
yeah,
finding people who spin. I could sit and watch somebody spin all day long. I have no desire to do it myself, but I could watch it all day long. I love watching it.
It is my zen. It does the same thing to me. It just puts me almost into a trance.
Yeah. And I love watching it.
Whether it's by hand with a drop spindle or on my wheels,
I love watching people spin all day long. I have no desire to do it. I have no desire to learn it. Like I'll be honest. That's one of those things that I have no time for it, but I will watch it all day long.
Right. You go to sleep with it.
Yeah, for sure.
well, this ma'am, has been fun, girlfriend.
It has. Ladies and gentlemen, you may now have to return your tay tables to your upright positions and unfasten your seatbelt when the captain has turned off the fasten seatbelt sign. We hope this flight of chaos coordinated has or the chaos train has been an entertaining and an informational ride.
And be sure to tune in next time and keep giving good vibes to Lisa.
Lisa needs all the good vibes she can get. So
exactly.
Y'all have a wonderful time and have a wonderful time of day, whatever it is. And may you have the day you deserve.
Exactly.
Love you, Miss Denise.
Okay, love you too. See ya.
Join Tiffany and Denise next time when they talk with Trish Hernacki, a knitwear designer from Indiana. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen, and join the conversation in our Ravelry or Facebook groups. For show notes or knit tech editing and related services, please visit my website at arcticedits.com. To inquire about crochet tech editing and other services Tiffany provides, please go to wootcrafts.com.